This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Hold your carriage horses and tighten those corsets. Bridgerton is back. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom. But has Penelope truly pushed aside her feelings for Colin? Will Colin realize his feelings before another suitor takes Penelope's hand? This gentle reader can't wait to find out. Watch part one of Bridgerton only on Netflix May 16th.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? How's your week? What's going on? How are you the mayor of Long Island City yet?
Basically, I'm the mayor. It's funny because I was like, I don't really wear accessories, and this morning I was kind of like, I have this headband that I've been avoiding wearing, and I put it on and I thought it looked cute. I was like walking around, and then we just went on this video. It's my first Zoom of the day. And I'm like, I kind of look like it's not really working for me.
The headband, it does signify like I'm putting makeup on. That would be my thought with that.
That wasn't what I was
keeping
going for,
hair like, out cute, of my face,
cute headband look. And I think it kind of looks like, again, like I'm getting ready to do some like strenuous activities instead of looking cute.
It does. I'm somewhat jealous of the decisions women can make with some of their attire, where it's like, I'm changing who I am today. I'm going to be headband woman. You know, like I don't think that really happens for guys a lot, where I'm like I'll wear a hat, but like that doesn't change.
A hat, I actually think, can change a look a lot. I like when Mike Morris hats. It's like...
You do?
Oh, I feel like it gives... Especially when he's wearing like a backwards hat. I'm like, oh, this gives me like a... I feel like you look like younger, fun. It's like a little exciting. It's a little different.
More badass.
Guys like, can do it.
He's his evil twin now. It's kind of like I'm with someone else. This is hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Biker helmet, you know.
Sure. Leather jacket. Shades. I don't know. If anytime I've tried to change my look, I just look like a young Jewish kid in costume. Like I just like right. It just doesn't work for me. Like even
I feel that way too, though. Like I'm like pretending to be I'm pretending to be a girl who like can pull off a headband. It's just not me.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it looked fine on you. I had no thought that I was like, you know, something was amiss. But I don't know. It sometimes I see people's looks. Like there's a guy that like I've been thinking a lot about the end of jeans. Tell me what you think of this look. Jeans that kind of get tighter at the ankle. I like that look.
Like skinny jeans?
It's like a skinny jean, but not like it doesn't look like skinny around the crotch area. It's more just like that they come to an ending before the shoe. I don't like, and like I was like looking at that, like thinking like that's what I want. I want a jean that kind of ends at my ankle so that I could wear shoes with it. But then I was like, maybe my legs are just too fat and stubby for such a look. Like I was just like imagining me just looking like I was wearing, you know, scuba diving, you know, like gear. Like my shoes would end up looking like flippers, you know?
What's like a cool men's jean company?
I don't even know. I've been, you know, they don't sponsor the show, but I've been really into Bonobos lately. Like they have one shirt. I mean, this is a totally different, this might be Diet Starts Tomorrow, but I've mentioned this on many podcasts. My struggle of being between a large and an XL is my cross to bear. Like and if I find a shirt where the large fits like a normal shirt, I like, you know, just like, I'm like, I'll have 10. So like Bonobos has this one short sleeve button down that fits me well. But if I gain 3 pounds, I'm out of this shirt. It's like my motivation to stay within 3 pounds of where I am right now. Like so I'm really hitting them up big time, but I went in, one of the shirts from them, I tried on the other day and I was like, it's getting snug. I was like, oh, I'm fucked. It's over. I got a week out of it.
Well, at least you have a nice little like test that's sort of objective instead of like, you know, cause sometimes you have a day where you feel like a little off, but like, there's no way to really tell. But if you have this shirt, I actually think you're kind of lucky.
the shirt is my scale at a certain point. I think that's a good point. Like, hey, time to pull it back. And I'm just coming off of shows that I did with Michelle Wolf, and like, you know, I open for her. So like when she goes on stage, I'm like, oh, have a glass of wine. And then she has like stuff in the green room, like a couple gummy bears, like, and like a couple gummy bears just doesn't exist for me. Like, it's not two gummy bears. Like, I have to admit to that. Like, I have to stop believing that I'm a couple gummy bear type of person. No, I am seven handfuls of gummy bears until they're gone and I hate myself. That's me. You know, I have to admit to that at some point.
No, I totally, I mean, it's kind of like, what's the point of having a couple gummy bears? That's not like doing it. I mean,
that's how I think after the fact. Like, after the fact, I'm like, what was the point of that when I'm like, you know, sitting there teary-eyed with the bag like over me like a blanket. Like, I, you know, like I do have that thought.
I kind of agree with that thought, though. It's like if you're not going to do it in excess, it's like it doesn't, just a taste just never is like that. I'd rather not have it than have just a taste.
Well, this is where like the whole like blame diet culture thing is a tough thing to do, because you do want to like revert against what you're saying. Like what you're saying, I'm like, no, I should be able to eat in moderation. I can have a couple gummy bears. Like that's the healthier way to look at it. And then I try to be that person and I can't. I am not that person. Like someone recently told me that they were going to a wedding where the family wasn't a big food family. So he was like nervous about what the food situation at the wedding. And I was like, if someone was like, yeah, you know, you're invited to this wedding and I knew they were in a big food family, I'd be like, I'm not going. I'm out. Like, I don't even understand that logic of how you could become so that way. Right.
My family is that family. So
not a big food family.
They're not. I mean, there's like the food is just not a cornerstone of our household. Mike always eats before he goes to any sort of family function of mine. It's also like, it's often like Jewish food, which is like just generally not that appetizing. But also my mom is like the worst person at entertaining. She'll put out like a bag of chips and be like, well, I hope everyone left room for the crudité.
This is part of like getting to know your significant other's family. Like it's okay that they're not a big food family, but it's like, okay, I need everyone to acknowledge this case. Like, don't claim to be a food family when you're not a food family. Like, that's what ruins a relationship. Like, you look at Mike, you go, eat up. We're going to my parents' place, my mom's place. It's like, okay, good. At least we're all on the same page here.
Definitely aligned on that.
Yeah. Well, that's why this is good to know that you're a destination wedding. So I can feast up on my own. I don't have to worry about.
I put him in charge. I put him in charge of making sure the food's good, because that's his, thank goodness. You know, that's more of his thing. So you don't have to worry about it. I'm not on it. The first time we had people over, like when we first moved in together, we had like a little housewarming thing. Mm. So I got a bottle of vodka and like a bag of Tostitos. And he's like, this is not how you throw an event. This is an immediate clash.
This is not how we do things now. Yeah, yes. That is we have to agree that this is not your corner of the relationship to take care
of. Exactly. Back off. Yeah.
This is all under the phylum of communication. But listen, we have a great show today. I'm really pumped about today's show. But any announcements at Betches? Anything we want to talk about?
Check out Shop Betches, get your You Up merch, and check out Betches Mom's podcast. People are really loving that. So
I love that you guys are growing with the audience. Like there's someone out there that like did college with you, did post-college with you, did the dating scene. Now they're a mom and trying to figure this out in a realistic way. I love that you guys are with the people. Betches Grandma's coming soon.
Seriously, it's Betches menopause. Eric. No, but it is great because you do hear that. It's like we were with you when you were like throwing up after a frat party, and now when you're like changing your toddler's diapers. So
that is a heartwarming thing to hear. I've had people that like it as strange as it sounds. I've had people be like, "I used to read your stuff way back when," and I'm like, "Oh, that's so cool that like you're still like engaged with whatever bullshit I'm putting out there." But I am gonna be in Atlanta this weekend, and then I'm in Albany, so if you want to come to the shows, I'm gearing up. I got all new material from you know, if you watch the special, it's none of the material from the special. So I have an hour of new stuff, and I'm going to be in Atlanta. Bring your friends. Bring your friends. Let's start, you know, get into the summer season. We're, you know, getting vaccinated. Things are moving forward. So bring your friends. Have a great time. Laugh. Jaredfree.com, Atlanta. I think I have 7 shows. Albany, I've got 4 or 5 shows. So come on out. Come one, come all. Bring the group chat. Assemble. So what are we talking about today?
It's always a good time. Today we are talking about orgasm etiquette. Ooh. Should you ever fake it? How should you tell someone you're just not going to get there?
Okay, well, my etiquette is I go, I will be pleased. I'm trying to think of what would be the polite way for Amanda. I will be orgasming now. You know,
I think this is such a personal thing. I feel like people try to make it like a one, like never fake an orgasm, or like always make it like if he doesn't make sure you come every time, then like kill him. Well, yes. And we're all on board.
this does cross into angry conversation territory way easier than I ever thought it could. If he's not getting you off, then get the fuck out of that fucking loser's face. And you're like, okay, can we just talk about this? Like, maybe that's the reason that this stuff gets like,
it's such
doesn't
a touchy
get
subject. Yeah,
exactly. And think of how many men I'm saying as a man, just know, I think, and we'll get to the email, but like start at a baseline that I would think, like, I've never been in a situation where I'm like, sorry you didn't get off. Like, men want to get you off.
Right.
Like yeah. Too bad, toots. You know, like, there's never that moment. And if they don't, like, I think we always, like, count on the tail ends of the bell curve. We think those are the people that we deal with in everyday life, when really most people are the fat part of the curve. I would consider myself an average Joe, an average Jim, in the fat part of the curve.
Average Jared,
of all the J names. I would say that every time I've been with someone, I'm hoping that they have gotten off in the way that I'm getting off. You know, right?
Same. Yeah, I think totally. But, I mean, I don't know if this is a male-female difference, but I can have a good time, like, and sometimes it's just kind of, like, not happening. And it's not, like, it has to happen or I'm having a terrible time. And like, sometimes I just don't feel like making that the end goal, where I'm kind of like, whatever. Like, this was like good. It wasn't like the best ever, but it was like fine. And I don't really need to like make sure I'd rather almost like not.
Well, that's the hard part. Well, that's right. The hard part to convince a guy. Like, it and I think what happens is we all think of ourselves. We're all narcissists. So to a guy, like, for a lot of guys, like, whether, you know, listen, guys can get hard and not get off. That happens all the time. We've had, you know, a urologist on. Is that what we've had doctors on that talk about that? That can happen. It can happen because they drank too much. It can happen because they're in their own head. These are things. And, you know, what I always say is that it's generally not because of you. Like, it's not because of the other person that they're not getting off. I would say the same can go for why they get off too quickly. It can be because of you, but it also can be because they have, you know, they get off quickly. Like, it could be their personal thing. And but a lot of guys, it's very mechanical. We're an automatic transmission. It gets up, it goes, it's going to happen. So I think for us, when we look at it through our eyes, where we're like, if she didn't get to the end, I have failed. So when a woman says, like, no, I'm having a good time, this is great, it feels good, I'm just not going to get there, it's hard to, to communicate that to a guy, I would assume. And, like, I know as a guy, I've, like, you know, I would go, you know, I believe you because I have to, but I have no way of knowing.
Right. Well, I guess the only way to know would be, like, if you were with someone in a long-term way where you kind of, like, knew that there were times that it was going and it worked, and other times that it, like, if you had enough experience with the person where it wouldn't feel personal. And I feel like that goes for anything else in a relationship that always feels personal. It's like, the more I know you, the more I know what's personal and what's not personal.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's why casual sex is like not as good as like, you know, kind of relationship sex. Like, you know, casual sex can be fun because of all the, you know, all the other elements, all the other senses that go off, like, you know,
excitement,
acquiring the catch,
right, yeah,
the excitement, all that. But relationship sex generally is just better. Like, it's just more comfortable. Right. You're with someone you know, someone you, again, you just like you said, like, believe and don't believe, you know, like, you know what. But I also think it would be easier if women had semen.
like, right. I mean, some women, they say, like, the squirting thing is, like, a thing. Right.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get 1,000 DMs about the squirting thing. Cause I know, listen, everyone's different. Let's start.
It's not
everyone's
semen,
different,
but
it's, some people say it's pee.
I don't think it is.
I'm talking. Yeah. About my ass.
I've heard that too. I'm not sure if that's true. If you know the answer to that, we will read it on next week's episode. Email us, UUP@betches.com. Give us the lowdown on the anatomy of squirting, because we didn't get a good enough sex education in high school.
At all. Even Jordana's mom couldn't teach us the way. So, but I would say that, like, if a woman just, like, spurted off like a fountain, like, I'd be like, whew, good to know. Okay, thank God. You know, right. the show at the Bellagio has started. I can be done. You know, like, this is great.
I mean, I feel that way about actual semen. I think it's like, it's a very nice indicator. Like, it's,
yes.
I like that. It's like, I mean, it's like, especially when it's contained well. But it is nice. It is, like, to validate your point, it is nice to know, like, you know, this is okay. It's done. I know, like,
yes,
you're good.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, when guys, you know, like, have you ever faked an orgasm, Stuart?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
I mean,
right?
More so when I was younger, but, like, yeah, again, I think it goes back to that thing, especially if you're with someone who doesn't, like, know you in an intimate, like, serious way, is to know, like, it could be easier, instead of explaining that, to just, like, pretend. So I'm not advocating for it. I don't think it's, like, something that's, like, oh, my proudest moment. But I also think, like, sometimes it's just, like, it's, again, depending on your comfort level with the person, just a little easier than to, like, if you don't feel like having that whole discussion.
Well, I would
avoid it.
Let me ask you a question. Is faking it kind of hot for you? Like, I would think that, like, the act of, like even faking it, I'm putting up air quotes, is you, mm-hmm, just getting into the moment. Like, I would,
yeah,
assume, like,
and it can
there's
feel
some
good
fun in that, and feel,
yeah,
it doesn't not feel. Yeah, that's what I was.
That's what, yeah, I'm saying. Yeah, it's like that. I think that adds to, like, the excitement and the hotness of the situation. And to me, it can be like just like a more fun way to end a situation than it would be to, again, get into the conversation of it. Well, like, you know, that was great. It just feels really good, but just want you to know, like, I don't, like, instead of having to read the whole, like, disclaimer, it can feel better. And I think there's some people who would say that it's, like, anti-feminist, or there's some people who would say that, like, you're not satisfying your own needs. But sometimes your need is just to have, like, an intimate moment with your partner and, totally, like, not get into the psychology of what's going on, or have it have to, like, explain something, and that can feel better sometimes.
I think the worst thing anyone can do is to get into cum scorekeeping, like because you're just not gonna beat a lot of dudes. Like, you know, guys could pop one off in the bathroom before they come out to go, you know, to have sex with you. Like, it's just like, you know, so, like, if you get in the game of, like, well, you came and now I didn't, now I'm taking it. I think when you take it personally, like, when someone is trying, like, that's when you get into the in your head thing. Like, I think that can be,
right,
a kind of,
I think it takes
path
the fun out of it.
Totally. And you if you're with someone in bed that you don't think wants to get you off, then maybe you should get out of bed with them. Like,
right,
if that's in your head,
a whole,
like,
different story. Yeah.
Sure. But I mean, even in a respectful way, if, like, you're with someone where consent is being had, but you're like, this person isn't even trying with me and I'm trying with them, like, yeah, hey, this was nice, but I'm going to pull back. I think this is not the right hookup for me.
Right.
And I know that's easier said than done, but, like, don't get it. I think the dangerous path is to go, well, fuck this guy. You know, like, I'm angry.
Totally.
To get angry at them, or, you know, whatever.
And I'm sure this exists for guys too, but I also think for a lot of women, there's a definitely, like, a scale in which, like, sexual satisfaction is of the utmost importance to them. So I think there's some people who are like, I need to get off every time. I know exactly what to do and I feel very empowered that way. And I think that's amazing. Like, more people should have that knowledge. But I also know a lot of women who are kind of like, this is just like not something that I'm like that excited or into, or like is a huge priority for me. Like, getting off is like great, but it's also not a huge priority for me. And that's not something that I like get most of my sexual satisfaction out of. Maybe they get more satisfaction out of like the intimacy of it, or like the holding of it, or the other parts of it. And I don't think that that's like wrong in and of itself. I think like some could say, oh, well, they just don't like, they haven't explored themselves sexually enough to know. But I also think we can leave room for people having just different levels of like sex drive, the importance of sex to them. And I also think that's okay.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. And I think like this conversation, it always gets bogged down by like, you should. No, it's whatever your feeling is. Like, that's, I think like from the guy point of view, the problem becomes like, well, the guy, you know, is mostly coming.
Like, you guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming up, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. Honestly, I love pretty much everything Skims makes, but I really love their t-shirts. They're like form-fitting, and they make my body just look that much smoother. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It has amazing versatility. It is literally a must-have for a spring wardrobe. They're stretchy, they're flattering. You can dress it up or dress it down, and you don't have to worry about compromising style or comfort. I also have the cotton jersey t-shirt in marble, and it's really just changed the game for me. It's taking the regular t-shirt, it's leveling it up. There's no stretched collars or hems, and it literally fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra extra small to 4x. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select you up in the drop down menu that follows. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor, it's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I think we should do the email, because there's a question I do want to ask. Like,
let's get into it.
All right, let's do it.
I will read it. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast and all the laughs you guys have provided during these difficult times. I come to you with a question about faking orgasms and just the way women are supposed to go about them as a whole. Let me explain. I'm a freshman in college and I've never had an orgasm. I've accepted the fact that to get there, I'm going to probably have to masturbate to figure out what works for me.
Let me just say, this is such an adult way to write this. Like, you can see the progression of society through this woman's email. Like, a college student being like, I haven't come yet, but I know it's going to take time and learning about my body. I'm like, I don't know if people spoke like this when I was in college. You know,
I know my friends didn't at the time, but like, I think it's like, it's, that's, I think I love that about Gen Z. I think it's like so much more open and so much more like people are so much more honest. Like, I think female masturbation when I was in high school or in college was this very like hush hush thing where it's like you might tell someone like very secretly, but you'd be like a little ashamed of it. And I think like this is so much more empowering and so amazing.
And it also, like, from a guy, like, hearing it as a guy, you're like, man, like, this is actually a pleasure to hear. She's like, no guy, it's not that she's writing a no guy could make it happen. She's like, no, I gotta like figure this out. Like, and that comes with like education is better. Like, we have to give our society credit sometimes. Everyone, you know, harps on how horrible the world is, but like, this feels like a win. Like, she's like, I gotta get to know myself. Like, I gotta find the right, you know, the right person.
I agree.
You know, like, when I hear this as a guy, it's like, oh, okay, we're all learning and this is nice.
Totally. We're going in the right direction.
Hopefully.
But I'm not super comfortable with myself, and I just haven't been able to get there yet. I just started hooking up with a new guy, and the last time we had sex was the first time we weren't very drunk. He clearly expected me to orgasm, saying things like, "Are you going to come?" And I would start breathing heavier. This sounds so weird written down, but hopefully you get the gist of it. This might sound kind of sad, but no guy I've been with before ever expected me to come, so I never had to worry about faking it. To be honest, I'm not really concerned about a guy making me finish because I'm on such a high dose of antidepressants, and they kind of decrease that ability and drive. Just Ashkenazi Northeast Jewish Jew things. Get it. I don't want to make the guy feel as if we have to keep going because I haven't finished yet, but I honestly just don't know the formalities about orgasms or what I'm supposed to do. Like, I don't want to have to fake it every time we have sex from now on, but I also don't know how to be like, "Listen, buddy, it's just not happening." Any advice or commentary you have is welcome. Best, a failed actor.
Love this email. I let me start with saying she writes one thing, but I honestly don't know the formality or what I'm supposed to do. You can do whatever you'd like. Let's start with that. Like, whatever makes you feel comfortable. This is, we've said it so many times. There's no shoulds. There's no too much, too little, too whatever. You got to feel comfortable. And I can't tell you how to feel. So, but I will say, this guy asking, "Are you going to come?" Some people could take it one way. When I hear that, and when I've asked, like, "Have you come?" I feel kind of ridiculous when, like, thinking back, like, how embarrassing that was. But anytime I've asked, it's because I've cared for them to come. So,
right.
And that's the only, listen, you could say, "Are you going to come?" as him hurrying you up. I don't really think that's what he's doing. I think he's asking because he genuinely wants to please you.
Yeah,
I would assume. Like, so,
yeah,
like,
that's,
I think,
what I would assume as well.
So like, but anytime I've asked someone, like, I've been doing a bit about this on stage, but like how ridiculous I feel asking a woman if she came, and then like feeling what a vibrator feels like. You're like, what was I?
Like, yeah, you know? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, it's what? Kind of like,
of course you didn't, you idiot, Jared. You know, like,
that's like the other thing. Also, it's like, I feel like the man's orgasm is so much simpler. Like, it's kind of like a little more mechanical, I think. Like, if you do it
the most
if you do the right movement with your wrist, it'll, like, if you were doing, like, you would come.
Listen, I could get an engineer could build a humanoid arm and attach it to the side of my bed, and I could go hands-free, and it would be the same for me as it would be for like 1,000 other dudes, just like the same up and down motion. And
yeah,
it'd be like,
that's,
yeah,
what I mean, that's what I'm saying. So it's kind of like, that's another reason where it can be like, to explain like how, and if you know how to get yourself off, it's just like so much easier for women than having to explain that complicated technique to someone. I can see, again, I think that's adds to the reason why sometimes it's easier to fake it or to just say like, "This is fun, but like, I know how to do it better than you."
Well, I think here's the, I like, I understand the feedback of like, why should we have to dance around a guy's ego? Well, everyone's dancing around each other's different emotional things. Like, a guy's dancing around you to make you comfortable. So like, what can a woman do? What can she asked, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I mean, my advice is like, let him know that you've never come before. Hey, like, that's actually never happened for me. I know it will at some point. Like, the way she wrote it to us, like, I would, like, if I was the guy in that scenario, like, I'd be like, oh, okay, good to know. Like, cause we just know so little. Like, mm-hmm. I just got sent, they don't sponsor here, but I got sent a pube shaving kit, and I okay,
Manscaped or something.
I got sent Manscaped. Yeah. They're sponsoring my podcast.
They've done our show before, I think.
Have they? Okay, so what I loved about Manscaped, and something I was going to talk about in the ads that I do for them on my show, is to say it comes with directions for how to shave your testicles. And it's like, that's how little guys know. We don't even know how to shave our own. I looked at it. I was like, wow, this is good to know. Like, women shave their own, you know, vaginas, and you guys know how to do it. Like, they don't come, like, your razors don't come with a tutorial, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, I do laser. So, but okay. For those who back in the day, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of, yeah.
I mean, I'm 36 years old and I'm reading this tutorial on how to shave my own balls and I'm going, good to know. So like, just know that's like how little men know in this area. So like, just in the, of their own body. So like, how would they even know yours? So I think saying to him like, hey, like, this never happened to me, but like, you know, I'm going to let you know what I like and what I don't like. And I think that helps it, right?
I agree. And I think to come back to when we had Dr. Emily Morse on the podcast, maybe to do that in like a non-sexual setting or out. I remember she suggested doing that, like not in the bedroom, sort of take the pressure off of it. You can like open that discussion and then you can both like think about it a little bit and maybe come up with some other ideas at a later point. Or do you think she should say it in the moment?
I don't know. I think it's hard for me to say. Like, if I think, like, I always think of sex as like, I think it's like, you know, it's good to like be someone else's sonar. So it's like the you know, the more into it you get, the more I'm encouraged to keep doing the thing that I'm doing. You know, a little up, a little down. Like if you speak in positivity, like it's always a nice thing. And then if he, and I think if he comes to you and says, did you come? You can say, well, I have to let you know, like I've really never gotten there yet. And you know, not that I don't like what you're doing, but I really, you know, I think like in that conversation, you can kind of say like, well, I like when you do this. Maybe you can, you know, ease up on this, you know, like, I don't, you know, like right. I think like a compliment sandwich, so to speak, like,
yeah,
hey, I love this, maybe not so much this, but I really love this. I don't know. Right.
I think that's a good idea. I think you could maybe bring up the topic of your orgasm experience, maybe like in a non-sexual setting, if you're just hanging out, but then like, if you're like, kind of like, I'd love to like try some stuff out with you, like then obviously that would be like in the bedroom. But I can see how like if you kind of set it in the moment, it might kind of make someone feel like a little insecure or a little bit like, I don't know, like they like wouldn't have the time to like think about like how they want to approach it or what they can do differently.
Listen, I'll say this just as a person who gets like notes all the time. Like I get notes on jokes all the time. And in the moment you go, oh, you didn't think that was great. Yeah. I like this joke. You do that other one. I don't know if that's really, I don't know if I get it. And it stings, but then you're like, no, but this is getting me better. You know,
so you like the notes in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I get the notes in the moment when I go on stage and I do a joke and it doesn't work. I go, okay, that fucking hurt, but at least I know.
Okay. You know? I mean, I guess it depends on the way they like to receive feedback.
And listen, this is all like a learning process for everybody. I think the one thing that I've, you know, that you get in contact with when you're like physical with someone is like sometimes you'll get the like the woman that kind of does the oh. Like it's like it's not happening and they're like annoyed that it's not happening,
right? Yeah.
And you get that like bodily shake, like they're kind of throwing a temper tantrum. Like that's a little disheartening and you're like, I don't know if that's a really great way to communicate it to me, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. It would be kind of like a guy that you were trying to like explain like something he said hurt you and he's like, oh, again? Like you're so sensitive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I think that attitude in any aspect of a relationship is very like when someone is one person's trying is always disheartening.
I think like, you know, the other thing is like how long do you go? Like when does it stop? You know, there is a little bit of a plateau of like a sexual experience when you just go, "Hey, it's not going to happen tonight." Like at that point, I'm like, I'm okay with that. But like, I think the one thing that's a very important, and especially when a guy doesn't come, is like believing them. Like you have like just believing that they had a good time, because that's the only way to really go on in this. Like, I understand that like maybe you guys break up in the future. I don't think people end because of one bad sexual encounter where they didn't come. Like, I think it ends because you're like, oh, not really the match. Maybe, you know, but like, I just think like if someone says to you like, hey, this has been fun. And I, you know, if you keep pressing on him, because we get a lot of emails from women like, he's not coming, and he said it wasn't about me. You have to believe him. Like, there's no other way to kind of live on.
No, totally. And I mean, sexual compatibility is its own thing. So it's like tough to give universal advice that like a one size fits all way to solve any particular issue. But I think this is a good start.
Listen, go to acting classes, take some singing lessons, start to
practice heavy breathing.
Yeah, heavy breathing before you go in the bedroom. Go me, 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 me.
I'm saying no one is also on that note. Like, no one is that good of an actor where if it weren't at least like feeling good and they were into it in the moment, like I could never like randomly, I couldn't perform right now. Like, it wouldn't be you, sure. If you're like in that mode where you are kind of like faking it, no one's like sitting there like totally bored that I've ever heard of. It's like they're into it. They're just like,
whatever you do to, well, that's a good point. Whatever you're doing to fake it, no guy is like, is this the performance she's putting on? Like, we believe it. Our egos are so massive that if you're faking it, we're going to believe it. And all women kind of come differently. Like, guys are somewhat similar, I think, right? Where like, it's like a hard noise.
Also, there's like physical evidence, so we wouldn't be even like looking into it as much.
Well, for a woman, like sometimes you have like the you know, like the screaming, but then sometimes it's like a shiver, like a you know, like a bodily thing, and it's like so like just know whatever you do, he's believing you. So like that should kind of like ease your concern. Yeah,
for guys, know that if you're at the level where you're faking it in that way, even if it is fake, she could still be having a really good time.
There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon chair to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up with that same look at home. Even the best blowout brush won't give you that salon shine. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair that I've always wanted. Now I love the way my hair looks and feels. It's like salon fresh hair that starts at the roots. I have the Grow Hair Serum, and I can already tell that it's working. Like, my hair feels healthier. I love that it doesn't make my hair feel oily or sticky. I feel like I'm doing something really healthy for my hair. I also got to try the lash serum and the brow serum. Honestly, my hair has been hard to grow, so I love what Vegamore is doing, and I'm already seeing results. I'm already seeing thicker, faster growing hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best-looking results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker-looking hair. When I sign up for monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more, and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Give your hair the power of a little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, UUP listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP. Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including Headliners, Ulta, Fenty Beauty, Levi's, Adidas, and so much more. Seriously, the list seems endless. Rakuten is how the in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cash back rates are even bigger. Personally, I'll be shopping for beauty and apparel. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. You know I love to find the best deals while I'm shopping. And trust me, Rakuten is the hack to save money while shopping. Rakuten is the most rewarding way to shop and save because members can earn cash back on everything they buy. Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores across every category like beauty, clothing, electronics, travel, and dining. And this week only, you're going to get the best deals ever. Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you can get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. Hey there, J&J. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. I listen to you every week and thought I would share this weird sexual encounter I had. I went on a first date with a guy. We went to brunch, and I probably drank too many mimosas since I was nervous getting back into the dating scene after a breakup with my ex a few months earlier. Anyway, the date was good. We wanted to see each other again. He suggested that I come over and he could cook dinner for me. I thought that was cute and agreed, but I think we also both knew it would be a way to hook up as well, which I wasn't opposed to because as I said earlier, it had been a few months since I had seen anyone. So I go over, we have some wine, and within the first 10 minutes, we start making out. In my head, I was like, oh, that was kind of quick, but dismissed it and let it happen. This eventually led to sex, and in the middle of us hooking up, he reaches up, picks a booger out of my nose, and eats it.
This sounds like almost made up. I'm kind of like, are there people out there like this?
I read this and I was laughing out loud in the street. It surprised me so much. I was laughing, but I was like,
is this possible?
Here's the only way it's possible is that, like, I do believe this with, like, sex, where, like, if someone is, like, looking to be kinkier, they have to push the kinky button at some point. And if, like, I don't know if he's into eating someone else's boogers, but he's definitely into getting, quote unquote, dirty in some way. So okay. Maybe he saw the booger and he was like, this is an opportunity to show who I am. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
fair. I mean, I guess.
I read this when I heard picks a booger out of my nose and eats it. Like, I was like LOLing on the street to the point
absurd.
Where I was like,
yeah.
She writes, I was shook.
And eats it.
In full caps, eats it. I was shook, appalled, disgusted. I pulled back and asked, what the fuck did you just do? He literally had no reaction. See, the no reaction part is where I think he's a kinky dude who's just like, I guess
it wasn't like he thought it was funny.
No, this wasn't a joke to him. Yeah, he was like, what? Acting like it was totally normal to do what he just did. We stopped hooking up and I left pretty soon after that because I was reeling from that experience. I don't even pick my own nose. So who picks someone else's nose and eats it? I'd love to know what you'd call this. Sincerely, the Boogie Monster, which is the name that first popped into my head. I don't know about you, Jordana. She writes, P.S. He didn't even cook for me, so I never got dinner. Smiley face. Needless to say, we did not see each other again.
I mean,
well, he ate.
I was thinking the same thing. That was dinner.
Yeah, that was.
You didn't make enough for two.
Yeah, what if he took out a napkin and you just started like patting his lips, like, dinner is served.
This is the kind of story that really makes you rethink all those fairy tales from your.
Imagine if she was into it and he's like, gold mine. He was like, this is finally,
yeah.
Pick me a winner. Yeah, I know. It's a wild story. We have to believe it's true just because we have to live in this reality that this person's put us into.
Yeah.
What would you call it, Jordana?
I would call it, I had boogie nights, but
boogie
also
nights
I had,
is really good.
You know, but I assume it was at night. It was for dinner.
Yeah, I like
or,
that.
Or it's not me, it's you.
That's really good too.
Those are my two. What do you have?
Mine are so much worse. I have one that I like, Digging for Gold, The Gold Digger, Boogie Monster, which is the one that she did, The Boogie Booty, the Boogie Call.
Boogie Call, booty I like call, that.
The Boogie Call. And then like the last one is my favorite, The Mucinex Man.
Hot. I love it. It's great branding for them. They should they should hire you to do their jingles.
When I read it, I just imagine him as the green blob, like, right. Well, you hooked
just imagine,
up.
Like, he gets turned on every time you have a cold, you know?
Oh, shit. Is that the sniffles? Oh, you're about to get it tonight. Oh, my God. Is your nose running? Let me get it for you. Oh, my God. Ay. Are they green? I love it when they're green. They're going to taste extra boogery.
Ew. Okay. Girl does this to you. Red flag or deal breaker?
See, this is under the, and I know this is not the answer that is very, you know, looks good on me, but I'm like, this chick gets down. Like there, like there is a thing where it's like, if someone is that comfortable to do something like that, I'm like, okay, we can talk about everything. Like there's no sexual thing that is like going to be judged. At least if they do that, then it's like, okay, you know, finger in the butt during a blowjob is yeah. Like that's like, I mean, might as well be Thanksgiving dinner conversation. Like, you know, like there is something comforting about that sexually for a guy. Like at least you have, well, she fucking eats boogers to get off. Like, you know, what's wrong with me wanting my balls grabbed during a blowjob? You know, like.
Right. For me, that's like, I'd have the complete opposite reaction in the sense of like, he's already doing this. Like, what other fucked up shit is like, is going to come next? Like, this is the first time we're hooking up. This is probably the most benign of all of his, like.
I mean, we can only go up from booger. Yeah.
He's going to be eating my poop the next.
With a fork and knife.
He's yeah.
Just sitting across the table from you, completely hard with a fork and knife with your duty.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah, for me, I had the opposite worry.
Well, has anything like this ever happened to you? I can't.
No, I did not even believe it. That's how much this hasn't happened to me.
I hope people laugh like I did because it was so shocking that I was like, that took such a hard right turn. I had no idea what was coming.
Yeah.
I just pictured him, you know, like that painting where it's like the guy touching fingers. It's on the ceiling. What is it called?
Like the pick on the Sistine Chapel.
Yes.
Like Adam's hand touching God.
Yeah. That's I imagine him touching her nostril.
The Creation of Adam, I think, or something.
It's him touching her nostril in that painting. Like to me, like that's so funny. Let's do.
Yeah. I'd be out.
Let's do another email. You ready?
All right. Email. Hi, Jared and Joanna. First off, love the pod. Always listen when I go on my evening walks. Aw, I love being someone's evening walk. I also saw Jared's comedy show, and I've never laughed so hard. I brought one of my besties to your show and made another You Up Pod fan.
Wow. Listen, I'm just out there taking it the streets, promoting this podcast, getting people involved. That's very cool to hear.
She's doing it right. For the background story, my boyfriend and I have been dating for about 3.5-ish years. I'm 22 and he is 23. We started dating sophomore year in college and we are now in the real world, quote unquote. We did have a month last summer we broke up, and the main reason is because I didn't feel like he trusted me. I would go out with just my girlfriends and he would constantly ask things like, what guys are you with? Are you sure you're telling me the truth? And then the last straw that made me be like, I cannot do this, was when he accused me of bringing this guy home with me after a night of drinking because I wanted to sleep at my place. P.S. This guy was my best friend's hookup at the time. We got back together after he told me he would stop doing that and he wants it to work out. And I honestly have been really happy. I love him so much. We have the same life goals, have lots of chemistry, and he is my best friend. The problem is I'm a bit concerned I'm not being realistic with us. He has never given me his phone passcode, which I find weird and a bit suspicious. My ex-boyfriend would always tell me things like, hey, can you check who texted me? Or let me use his phone when we travel for navigation. It's so funny when people are 23 and they're talking about like ex-boyfriends before people
that's
they've been
the
with
major,
for 3 years. I'm like,
that's screaming at me. That's all I can think about is like, your ex from what, high school? You're 22,
right.
23, like what?
Your middle school boyfriend.
Yeah, who texted you? Oh, it's my next door neighbor. Like what? We had a play date.
Yeah, so her ex-boyfriend would always tell her things like, hey, can you check who's texting me or let me use his phone when we travel for navigation? Simple things like that. But my current boyfriend has never let me do anything like that. His text message and social media notifications are off on his phone, so they never pop up on his phone. And he does that thing where whenever we are sitting together, he puts his phone face down. If we're driving together somewhere and need navigation or want to change the music on his phone, instead of telling me his code while he drives, he'll take his phone and put the passcode in and do it himself. It's been like this since we started dating. I've asked him why he does this, and he says he puts his phone face down because he gets distracted. Then I've asked him why he doesn't want me to know his phone passcode / why he treats his phone like a secret to me, and he said he has trust issues from his ex-girlfriend. He said she went through his phone constantly.
In kindergarten, she would go through my phone all the time. She saw all of my Sesame Street apps, and yeah.
She stole all my Beanie Babies. It was a mess.
The real trust issues.
He said she went through his phone constantly, unfollowed all these girls on social media when they were dating. They both cheated on each other towards the end of the relationship. So definitely a toxic relationship. While I agree that's an invasion of privacy, I feel weird about it all. I told him my concerns, thinking this is shady and weird, and he reassured me how much he loves me and wouldn't do anything to ruin our relationship because he wants me and only me. But then my friend's boyfriend share their phone information with them because there's nothing to hide. Am I being an idiot and blinded by love? Before dating him, I always thought once a cheater, always a cheater. But here I am not listening to my own rules for over 3 years now. And this phone thing, I'm pretty often thinking, is he hiding something? Is this something that guys can just not want to have their girlfriend know their phone stuff, but not cheating slash lying? Or is this a huge red flag that I'm being naive with? Sincerely, blinded by the phone code.
It's tough because of the age of this. Like, I can't get over the hump of, like, you guys should break up because you're just holding on to a college relationship because you're afraid of going into the real world alone. You're afraid of not meeting something better. You're afraid of really growing up. And and the idea that you're comparing these to relationships you had when you were 18 or 17, when you're now 23, is like, you just don't have a lot to go on because you don't know your own taste yet. And you're comparing the taste of you at 18 to you at 23. It's just, I think that you need to grow up and kind of break away from this relationship. That's my like initial opinion, but to like make this about people in of any age, I think in the beginning of a relationship, it's totally normal to like not let someone in on your passcode. Like, I think like in the beginning, especially if you have like if you are out dating and you have some other relationships that are like ending as you're beginning a new one that you're taking more seriously, it is totally normal to be like a little tense around someone seeing your DMs and like scrolling back through the conversation that you've had with them because the dates are all kind of like a little vague as far as when it started, when you started, when all these things right. are kind yeah. of messy.
First but few months, that's fine.
I would say the first few sure. months. When you get a year in with someone and they're still doing this stuff and then blaming a relationship from when they were 18 or 3 years ago even and saying that they have trust issues without going to therapy, you know what I mean? Like, right. it seems you're just taking the easy exit. Like, if someone says, I have trust issues, I would go, well, that was 3 years ago. Maybe you should speak to someone.
Right.
Like a professional.
What are you doing to deal with it? Well, and yeah. it's interesting to me that he says in response to that, like he's all in for her. He loves her. It's like he's very into it and it's not because of anything else. But I would say to her to tell him that that's not the point. It's not about her. It's about him and what and his actions. Not about like necessarily about like, does this mean he doesn't like her or does this mean he's like going to leave her? It's more about like him doing what he's doing. Then you're not upset. I mean, you shouldn't be upset about it because it means he doesn't like you. You should be upset about it because it's weird behavior that shows that he has something that seems like he's trying to hide.
Yeah, and it's not even about his feelings. It's about yours. I feel weird every time you kind of hold your phone back from me. It's not even the passcode. Like, to me, it's right. more like you can't put music on the car. Like, I can't put the music on. I can't grab you your phone. It's like I'm sitting here with a diary that you're writing about me that I can't ever look into. Like,
right.
I think if she puts it in, I think you're right, but I think putting it in, like, I feel hurt when these things happen. It's not about you liking me. Like, I feel less into you.
Right. And I totally agree with what you were saying before about it being that age where it's like you do a lot of probably like toxic kind of things or you like the even like the controlling thing where he's also very concerned with what she's doing and who she's mm-hmm. seeing and always thinks she's cheating on him. Like those are things that like you could just keep sweeping under the rug and then you just become like a 30-year-old who does that. But like the real way to grow is for again I agree with you in that sense to be like you need to go like figure out these issues and then like maybe we can talk when you do, but like we're not gonna figure it out by just catering to this like weird way that you go about doing things or this unhealthy way that you kind of like shield me from your life because of whatever this ex childhood past relationship sure. situation is.
Well, to that point, like the reason that they're like so afraid of the cheating is because they're afraid of being alone. They're afraid of losing their crutch. they're afraid of losing the consistency because you're 23 and nothing's consistent at 23. Your job that you're not sure you want, the degree you're not sure what made sense. You know, so this one person, at least this person likes me. So there's this huge fear that once you find out they're cheated, now you lose that person. Now you lose any stability that's in your life. I understand that. That's totally normal. But I agree. I just think this is stunted growth. I'm with you on that.
Right.
Like, it's and not.
And it can feel like the best way to, like, avoid, like, discomfort or pain is just keep doing what you're doing and just be like, all right, whatever. I'll get over the fact that he just hides this. But it's actually, like, you're at that age where you can, like, fix those problems that you have that, like, stem from these insecurities or stem from these things and actually get to be a better person. Or you can, again, just kind of, like, take the more comfortable root out and keep doing what you're doing and never actually, like, become a better partner, be better in a relationship, fix yourself.
And I think you're right. And I think a big part of that is that she's fixated on, is he cheating? That doesn't even matter. You right. know, like, I know.
And that's his response to her. It's like, I'm not cheating.
Yeah.
So it's like, she's like, I'm worried you're cheating. And he's like, well, I'm not cheating. I'm all about you. And like, that's not, I agree. That's not the real issue.
That's not the issue. And I know we get fixated on cheating because that's like the thing that you can point to. That's why it didn't work out. He was wrong. I was here for it. He fucked me over. Instead, the harder part, the harder breakups, the harder relationship like view is to go, I don't feel really attracted to how he makes me feel. Like,
right.
When I, you know, he doesn't look at his phone. I feel like I'm disconnected from him. I feel like, you know, there's just really not like loved.
There's not a lot of trust in this relationship.
I feel untrust. Yeah. It's all that stuff. So it's like when she says before dating him, I thought always a cheater is a cheater. It's like, yeah, you're leaning on, you know, taglines. To like make your relationship, you know, make it, you know, should I go or not easier. But it's like, it's really that like you're not being met emotionally. Like that's not,
right.
That's
it. Now, even like forget the past stuff, because I think the past can be the past and people can change. But what you're saying is like what he's doing now is the issue.
Yeah.
Not what happened in the past.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's yeah. So time to end it. I don't
long
think
story short
yeah. long story short yeah well I do you I mean you know Mike's passcode, right?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I know his. He knows mine. He always forgets. Yeah. I never forget his.
Well, I think like also like, you know, the passcode too, like even when you're seeing someone new, if you're being casual with them, like that gives you every answer. Like if someone was to look at my look at my phone and see someone else's text, I'd be like, yeah, this is I have nothing to lie about in this scenario.
Right. Yeah. So. And I think that, yeah, I think after a certain point, you kind of lose that right to like the weird, the transitional relationship text. And
totally.
You have to kind of like own that that's weird.
Absolutely.
You know that feeling when you're going on your first date with the person you've been seriously crushing on and realize you have absolutely nothing to wear? Maybe you find yourself wishing you had the perfect pair of jeans, the one you can fancy up, fancy down, and just look better every time you wear them. Well, that's why you need to check out Lee Denim. I love Lee Denim. I'm wearing them today in the office. I'm wearing their jeans. They also have this other pair that I have at home that I'm really excited to wear. It's like a little baggier, but it's still so comfortable, and yet it's still so flattering. I don't know how they do it. Every time you wash it, they also look even better. And I love that they flatter every body type. Denim trends come and go, but Lee is legendary for creating denim cuts that fit your body. Their denim gets better with age, and their classics fit into every look. Lee's denim jacket is the one to reach for without fail, a classic. The Rider jean jacket is the OG, what every other brand has copied for decades. Everyone is an icon in their own right, and Lee makes denim so people can own their style and feel good in their clothes. Their spring collection is here, so get the freshest looks and cuts before anyone else. You can find your Lee fits by visiting lee.com. That's lee.com to shop spring looks now. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches. And honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Let's play some games. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. I loved the game last week, but this one, we're back to some red flag deal breaker.
We are. Last week we did a what would J&J say? We're looking out for your emails or DMs to see if you like that segment. We'll keep doing it. Or if you didn't, let us know also. Let's do some red flag or deal breakers.
And if you want to like play on your own at home, Betches is selling some red flag deal breaker card games. I mean, everyone should go to betches.co/uupmerch and check it out, right?
Check it out. This game is so fun. It's going to be so much fun to play this summer. It's a great way. It's a great game for groups, couples, single people, anyone you're around. It's a great way. I used to make these up on my first dates. This probably explains why I took so long to find a relationship. But I used to play this with everyone I went on a date with, just like making them up off the top of my head. So I think it's a great way to get to know people.
Absolutely. All right, let's do it.
All right. J&J, love the pod. I recently ended a 3-monther and I'm curious on your thoughts. I met this guy, let's call him Josh, on Bumble. I'm 26 and he's 27. We quickly started seeing each other 2 to 3 times a week with him staying the night at my place. One morning, Josh and I were taking my dog for a stroll. I noticed a police car nearby, but I didn't think much of it. I proceeded to lead us across the street towards my apartment's dog park. Later that morning, Josh says, I noticed you made a beeline across the street this morning when you saw that cop. At first, I was surprised, immediately assuming he thought I was scared of police officers. Background detail, his dad is a cop. I assured him that I noticed the cop but didn't think much of it and actually like seeing that particular one on my block since I live alone and feel safer knowing that the police are nearby. He then says, so are you dating him? You didn't want him to see us together, did you? I actually laughed a bit, thinking he was joking, but quickly realized he was very serious and somewhat defensive. I told Josh I was not, in fact, dating this specific police officer and wouldn't have enough time to, even if I wanted to. I was feeling quite turned off, especially when he didn't seem to believe me. What do you guys think about this? For me, it started as a red flag, but ended up being a deal breaker when multiple small incidents like this happened. For example, a song I love comes on Spotify in my car and he assumed a guy sent it to me. I've learned that insecurity is a deal breaker for me. Would love to hear your opinions. I'm calling this one the police leave me alone. Thanks for the laughs.
Yeah, this is a deal breaker for me. This is the worst type of person to date. Is the confidence is attractive. Like, that's just the reality. Like, and everyone does confidence differently. That's the thing that people forget is like, you know, some people are confident. You can be confident in different ways, but this type of lack of confidence is like the least attractive. And like, you would always have to be explaining everything. Like, you know, like the music on Spotify, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like,
I agree. This is exactly like the email we had before this. It's like, this is this person issue that they need to resolve before being able to date people because, like, that's a them issue.
Yeah. I mean, to see, like, every time you cross the street, you have to be aware if, like, there's a dude or a woman there. Like, was that an ex? I don't know. like, I would just start going along and be like, yeah, I fuck everybody. This is what I do. Yeah. I know her. I know her. The Starbucks
woman.
These
are all my exes.
All my exes. Everyone I've dated. And they were all, you know, more fun than you. That's what I would say.
Like, right. Very weird.
Yeah.
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker. There's no question. All right. recently started talking to and going on dates with a Hinge match. We went to the same college 8+ years ago, but never knew each other, but have mutual friends and acquaintances. So I've heard from a friend that he cheated on his girlfriend at the time in college. 8 years ago? Okay. Is this a red flag or deal breaker? It's insignificant because it was so long ago and also college. It's just stuck in my mind since she told me that info, but everything else has been going green flag so far. Love the podcast. Thanks, J&J. What do you think?
I'd call it a red flag. I would keep it in the back of my mind, but I don't think it's like a big deal. People change a lot in 8 years. I think it's something, if that combined with a lot of other suspicious red flags might be a deal breaker, but if that's the only thing, I think it's okay.
Yeah, this is not nothing.
You think it's nothing?
I think it's absolutely not. Again, specifics and context matter. If it's like, it's also like people just never forget shit about other people. It's just so funny to me that 8 years later, you know, this one friend is like,
that.
Oh, you would, of course you would remember. Yeah. It's like the juice. But then I would want to know, like, do you remember it because you were friends with the person? Or was this like a big public, oh, you know, they cheated and it was like the talk of, you know, the fraternity, sorority scene, whatever scene you're in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If it's just that they like, oh, yeah, I think they cheated on a friend of mine once. Okay, that happens and it sucks, but I don't really buy into like the idea that like it's a different story of like, oh, that guy cheated on their wife a month ago. Like, I'd be like, you know, like, I'd be like,
right,
you know,
I agree time context happens, but I do think even if something happened a while ago, it could be like on your radar generally. It's like your past don't matter for nothing. That's why I said it's just a red flag. But if someone was like, oh, yeah, like, I remember that guy, he beat up this other guy like 8 years ago, you'd be like, okay, that's not like great. But like people change, but also like it's not information that means nothing.
No, that's fair. I
you know,
it doesn't mean nothing, but I just have trouble like the idea that like that guy, like I guess I would have to know how big the cheating story, if it like, because there are those cheating stories that like become the story about, you know what I mean, like,
right,
oh, that guy used to sneak from one room of the sorority house to the other room, and you'd be like, okay, that's a bad thing to know about
that's
them.
What I'm saying. I think, you know, it's like, I don't think it's like useless information. I think it's just like not something to freak out about, but I do think like anything else that you hear that kind of is like, oh, I don't love that, but like,
yeah, I guess it's like,
see who you are today.
I guess it's like the, on the resume, it's the can do Excel of resume items. You're like, okay, I probably won't have to deal with this, but good to know, I guess.
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do another.
Okay. Hey, all. Recently, I've been talking to this woman that's mutual friends of ours tried setting me up with, and things were going pretty well. Since we live in different areas, we eventually made plans to meet up, and I drove down to her for our first date. It was one of those dates where the conversation just flows and you start admitting all the weird shit that everyone does, but you try to hide because it's a first date. So it's one of those dates where the conversation flows, you start admitting all the weird shit that everyone does, but you try to hide some stuff because it's the first, interesting sentence. Okay. She then tells me the story.
He's saying that they confide in each other in some weird memories that they normally wouldn't have.
Okay.
It is written weirdly, yeah.
Right. She then tells me the story about how there was an emergency and she had to drive back to our hometown. Time was of the essence. So when she had to pee, she told me she put the car in cruise control, pulled her pants down and peed in the only thing she had in the car, her Yeti cup. Now, I have no issue with this at all because I'm a guy and literally pee everywhere I've ever wanted. And quite frankly, I was pretty impressed she was able to pull that off. Still am, if I'm being honest.
It is very impressive for her to pee in a Yeti cup. I is that possible, Jordan?
I wouldn't trust myself, but it's possible. You can, like, especially like, you know, if you're making sure nothing's splashing anywhere else.
Would you press the cup to your body, like, to make sure?
I feel like you would angle it in a way where like the pee couldn't escape, and you would know it would. I've known girls who've like peed in water bottles on road trips.
Water bottles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen, just by like, you know, living a life, a woman pee, and it's like, It's like when they put out a fire from the plane. It's just kind of like sprays at it. I can't believe that it can be contained like that.
Yeah, we have more control. If you really want to, you can figure it out a little bit. Okay. I mean, we go to the doctor. We have to pee in cups.
Okay. I guess I never thought of it that way. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The date was going well, and I went back to her place where we hung out in the kitchen. I saw a Yeti cup in her sink, and she casually mentioned it was the same cup. She explained to me she washed it multiple times and didn't use it for a month. While I wanted to see the apple juice bandit again, I was wondering if just not replacing the cup is a red flag or a deal breaker. Thanks. Urinating Yeti.
Now, when I first read this email, I was thinking, that's crazy. She didn't throw away the cup. Now, thinking about it, the Yeti cup, I mean, it's a washable cup. I don't understand what the issue would be. Like, it's not, if it was a plastic bottle that she kept as a memento of the experience, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a little much. But the Yeti cup is, it's a metallic material that I trust can be washed. It's not like it's a, you right. know, a shirt.
I think technically it's probably like, fine hygiene wise. It was almost one of those things where it's like I'd rather just like not know.
Yeah, that is like it is. Oh, and there's the cup, and it's up on the bureau on a like a trophy stand. Like, oh,
do you know what I mean? It's kind of like if someone had, if you went to an apartment and the guy hadn't washed his sheets in like 4 months, you'd be like, it'd be like, okay, not the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. Like, I can understand how that might happen. But also, like, if you told me about it, I'd be like,
I don't need to know. Right? Yeah, this, we don't have to spell. Like, if you joked on the date, I guess the equivalent would be on the date, you were like, the guy says, I haven't washed my sheets in 4 months. And you both laugh at it. And then you come back right. to his place and he goes, these are the sheets. And you're like, okay, it's right. become too real for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's okay to be like a little turned off by that. I think it would sure. just be a red flag, but I would be like, it's like, it definitely takes away from like the sexiness of the vibe.
You know what it has me thinking now? I would be more turned off to find out that they were kind of a cheap person.
I was thinking that too. Like, just get another one. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they can't spend another $20 to get a new Yeti cup.
And to tell me about it, to take pride in it, is almost to take pride in that I still got the cup. And I'm like, I don't find that attractive. Some people might find that attractive. I understand that as well. Like some people might actually be like, oh, I like that they're economical. Like they save things. They like that they save things. Like to me, I'm like, okay, we can get a new fucking cup.
Yeah, here. It would be a turnoff. I think it'd be like if they were still drinking out of like the free movie theater cup that they got, you know, like if they brought home all the movie theater cups instead of getting their own cups, and they were like, look, like I don't even need to buy new ones. It would all yeah. it would be like a similar situation. Like that's not as hot as you think it is.
No, and it might be hot to someone. That is actually, someone might be like, you know what I love? They don't even need cups. They got all the old McDonald's cups from the 90s. Good for them. All the old Batman cups they used to give out.
Yeah, I think it'd be a red flag, but like if there was one more, it would definitely put me on the fence about them.
Yeah, I would be thinking about it in the way this guy is thinking about it. Like, TBD on this person. It would have Agreed. To be one of those situations. Well, we solved dating again, Jordana. How do we do it every week? It's crazy.
I don't know. I'm very impressed with us. Just wowed every week.
Listen, people, we didn't do it at the beginning, but we're going to do it at the end. If you're here right now, make it your Instagram story. Make it your Instagram story. Tell a friend. Tell anyone you know this podcast is about to, I mean, I feel like it's heating up right now, but this summer is going to be so many different scenarios that we're going to be getting into coming out of the world that we've just been in the last year. I think it's about to get a little bit wild, right?
Exactly. J&J's opinions are getting spread just as intensely as the vaccine.
That's so J&J right. Vaccine this summer. We'll be back Sunday.
Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Netflix. Bridgerton is back. And dearest gentle readers, you will not want to miss this chapter. Longtime friends Colin Bridgerton and Penelope Featherington find themselves in quite the precarious situation. The wallflower is ready to bloom, but she needs Colin's help to find a marriage match. Will these friends defy expectations to find true love? And will Penelope's secret identity as Lady Whistledown destroy any chance she may have at love? You shall have to watch and see. Watch part one of Bridgerton, only on Netflix, May 16th.
Betches.